hello everybody and welcome to this week's NPL show. Loads of interviews coming up on this week's show. Later, we're going to be hearing from the management at Bamba Bridge and from High Flying Michelover Sports. We're also going to be talking to Ant Taylor from Yorkshire Coast Radio about Scarborough Athletic. And we're going to be talking goal scoring with Buxton's hat-trick hero from midweek, Diego Di Girolamo. But before that, there was a lot of FA Cup matches which took place last weekend in the third qualifying round of the FA Cup. There was also some league matches too. And for a little round-up, on Tuesday night, I travelled down to Stainton Park, the home of Radcliffe, where I caught up with two distinguished non-league faces. So, hello everybody and welcome to Stainton Park, the home of Radcliffe FC, and tonight the home of our results roundup from Saturday on the NPL show. Swampy's here.
Good evening.
James Hayes is here, otherwise known as Teagot. Just to let the listener know at home, because I'm recording this show over several days, on Tuesday night, Benny's poorly, which is why I sound like this.
You sound no different at all.
I'm putting this voice on. Anyway, let's talk about some of the league results firstly, because there were some great FA Cup matches, but we should talk about the league results first. And Basford United, a 4-3 win over Gainsborough Trinity, a result which sees them up to second spot now in the league. But South Shields, it's an 8-point lead. They beat Atherton Colors by 3-0. 8 points.
Clegg, even after Matt saying they were on a different level than everyone else, and they've proven it in the last couple of weeks.
Let's not be surprised that the beating teams week in, week out, we're nowhere near into sort of like, are they definitely going to win the division? A lot of people are already saying that. I know in last month's show, Berkey said 23 points.
26, wasn't it?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was 20-odd.
But they'll come a cropper on a number of games this season, and it'll be tight at the top towards the end of the season, I'd expect as well. But, you know, yeah, I mean, we talked about it on the NPL show itself last month, didn't we? Talking about there was no pressure at all on Atherton Colliery's going there, enjoying the day, and they got something out of it. Fantastic. However, what we all expected to happen did happen. But again, it's no disgrace. I mean, Atherton have come up and they've done really, really well to be where they are. They're not bottom, and they've got finite resources themselves. So it wasn't a surprise. And Atherton all just go again.
Good result for Basford United as well. Gainsborough came back into that game, but Basford United up to second in the league.
Basford have come up over the last few seasons. They've got big ideas. They want to go as far as they can in the pyramid. I think their ground might determine how far they can go, but again, the finances, they want to expand, and they're playing some good football. They're second in the division, in a strong, strong division, and you know, in essence, they are a village club more than anything, aren't they? Really. They've done very, very well, and they're in the rightful spot. And even though there was a bit of a fight back in that game, you know, they come out on top. They win by 4-3, 7-goal thriller. Been great for a neutral, and equally, they fully deserve where they are in the division at this moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, so at the same time, no disrespect to Gainsborough as well. So, first time I think they've scored 3 this season, and they've been looked really aggressive. Looking at the highlights, we got a few of them as well.
Michelover Sports up to third. A 1-0 win on Saturday against Scarborough Athletic, and Lee Hughes scoring again.
We talked about, didn't we, in the monthly show. They've got what they've done this season better than they have in the previous seasons. They've got the blend right of experience and of youth. And Lee Hughes, we know the quality he can bring to a team, and at this level, he's still fit enough to play. And, you know, a great result. And Michelover again are there on merit, but having that blend. Last season they struggled because maybe there was too many.
They didn't have the experience last season.
Too many youngsters. This season they've brought in a few youngsters, and equally with that experience, as I say, fair play to them, well done again. And it's whether they can continue that all through the season. But what a terrific start! Absolutely superb.
What a result as well at the weekend for Radcliffe. We're here obviously on Tuesday night for the Manchester Premier Cup match between Radcliffe and FC. About the 50th game we're going to be playing against each other this season, by the looks of it. But a 3-0 win against Hyde United. Berkey, sick as a dog.
Indeed, so and more in fact that we've had 3 games on in a row now as well. So, yeah, very great recovery from the Grantham game there for Radcliffe. Well deserved for Radcliffe at the same time too. Just they're not. Hyde needs to get that away form back up a minute, and that's what's hurting them most this season.
Well, you're up to 16th now. A win as well for Lancaster City. That sees them up to 7th in the league table now, 1 point behind Matlock. A 1-0 win for Lancaster against Matlock. They're going to be all right this season, aren't they? You'd imagine Matt Fell's going to be looking at this going, you know, if we continue this form that we've got at the moment, there's no reason why we can't be challenging for the playoffs.
No, not at all. I mean, FC went there, didn't they? And it was a tough, tough game, and it was a tough battle. And, you know, other teams are going to go there and find it very, very difficult. The Giant Axe is a big, expansive pitch. It's not necessarily the most conducive. It's slightly bobbly to a degree. And they're comfortable at the moment. They're doing well. And, you know, they'll be looking to cement, you know, a top half, if not playoff position, from where they are now. But as I say, we are very early in the season. But equally, you've got to take every team at merit for where they are and where they deserve to be. And Lancaster are certainly worthy of that position currently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we mentioned Bamba Bridge last week, didn't we? And I think the general consensus, not my consensus, Bamba Bridge fans, you understand, but the general consensus around the table was that it was going to be a tricky season for them. Great response from them on Saturday, a 1-1 draw against Witton Albion. But the goal was on the 96th minute. Any form of controversy about that, or is that just all part of the course?
I mean, just part and parcel, getting your play to... You play to there, if you can get a result out of it, you get a result out of it. And Bamber Bridge, they needed it at the same time. You now got five teams sharing the last relegation spot at this moment
in
time.
I mean, it's good that they're showing that fighting spirit, isn't it?
Well,
to use
they came to Broaders Park, and for the last 20 minutes, they were the better team. They just couldn't score, but there was some resolute defending from FC United and Manchester. However, they needed that performance against FC, and they've clearly taken that into the next game. And they've got something out of it, which is something that they'll be just looking to do now. Get something out of the game, move on to the next game, and as soon as you can get that 3 points rather than just a point, we're early in the season. I keep saying, I'm going to say this, every person you talk about, every team we talk about, I'm going to say the same.
I was going to say, looking at the next three games as well, not including tonight's against Nantwich, Stalybridge, Scarborough, Stafford, it's a great chance for them to build that start of their season, not from scratch, but build on it and start putting a bit of worry down team.
But the thing also to bear in mind is those teams that are playing are also wanting to be doing that. Stafford
exactly,
want to do
that.
Stalybridge, obviously, against we'll talk about them in a minute, I would have thought. They're all going to put in a result now for their next game because, you know, they've all been beaten.
And, well, the last result from the league on Saturday, Stalybridge Celtic 2, FC United and Manchester 3. Bit of a thriller, this one, wasn't it?
It was an excellent game. I mean, it really was a very, very good game. Both teams, in fairness, set the stall out well, worked hard, tirelessly, good football being played, end-to-end stuff. The home team going in front in the, you know, a matter of a minute and a half, 2 minutes. FC United were resolute. They fought back. Great substitution with Paul Ennis coming on and then changing, not necessarily the game, although what he did change the game, but FC's pattern of play was excellent until that point as well, and a 90 minute winner. It could have been, as we talked in commentary, it could have been 7-6 to FC. I mean, they had plenty of chances. FC had plenty of chances. It ended up an absolute thriller, and FC United now 11th. From where they were 11th, and only actually 3 points off the playoffs. I mean, so it shows even at 11th position how tight and how narrow everything is amongst all those teams. And you put a run of games together, you can be second, third, fourth or fifth very, very easily and very quickly.
I mean, so that game's like tonight, we've been saying about the Manchester Premier Cup, a lot of the our division sides play each other in this, and again, an opportunity tonight for FC to develop the side, because you look like you're rotating players a lot at the moment, but it's working to your benefit more than anything else. Is that anyway, that's my FSA.
Let's talk about the FA Cup.
Yes.
Four teams left from an MPL perspective. We'll get to who they're playing in a second, but there were some very close run things and some cracking performances. Ashton United, even though they were beaten 6-2 by Spennymoor,
they were
2-1 up after 16 minutes. So Spennymoor Town going through, so commiserations to Ashton, but congratulations to Belper Town and Grant Black. Somebody, he loves the FA Cup, doesn't he?
Superb, well done Belper. It's FA Cup can be a great distraction or a real hindrance, but these early stages, it's money in the bank now because the money's been increased. I mean, it should be still triple the amount it is for football at this level. But they carry on going, you know, get another game under the belt, another FA Cup game under the belt, and what's the...
Do you want me to tell you who they've got?
Yeah, because...
Okay, they've got Notts County away.
That's a side for him, wow.
Absolutely.
Well, local, again... local enough for him, so
very much so.
Yeah.
That's
huge, isn't it?
And also, let's not forget, they share 50-50 of a gate. I mean, I know Knox County are now a National League team, but they still get big crowds, and that'll be a great, great game. And again, they can go there and enjoy it.
Brackley Town 2, Warrington Town 0. We won't mention that one ever again. But how unlucky were Buxton, 1-0 up for about 40-odd minutes, but then York City winning it on the 80th minute. So a bit unlucky that for Buxton. Congratulations to Colne, though. It was the old step four affair against Dunstan. 3-2, bit of a thriller. Sefton Gonzalez scoring the winner on the 86th minute. And that sets up for Colne, who are now... They've already gone the furthest they've ever been in the competition. Gateshead away for Colne.
Well, they've just played
Steve a weekend away for
Steve
it.
Cunningham is going to be loving that, isn't he?
They've just played a team for the North East in Dunstan, and they're staying. They're going up there again against Gateshead at the International Gateshead Arena, and it'll be an interesting game again. There's nothing to lose, and they'll go out there, enjoy themselves, and you know. Who knows? I mean, the FA Cup is that's the beauty of it, isn't it? You know, on the day you can beat anybody. Yeah, well, sometimes you can.
Well, even Gateshead only just scraped 1-0 win against
Kidsgrove. So. Yeah, absolutely. Commiserations to Kidsgrove on that one. Also, commiserations to Leek Town. They were beaten. Is that their first defeat of the season? It must be up there because Leek have had a great start, haven't they?
Yeah, they were beaten
2-0 by Kingsland Town. Congratulations to Nantwich Town, though. They beat Morpeth Town by 1-0, and a 90th minute winner there, very late in the day. Nantwich hosting Kingsland Town in the fourth qualifying round. Nantwich could get to the first round here.
They'll be glad they've got a home tie because you don't want to go. Regardless, wherever you don't want to go to King's Lynn, if you can help it, it's a long, long journey. They can prepare in the right way. They don't have to disturb any of their training methods at King's Lynn. Again, they've got big ideas of getting back into the football or getting into the Football League. They've got a little bit of money behind them, so they would likely probably travel. I would have thought on a Friday, prepare themselves, but. Yeah, I think you're right. Nantwich have got a golden opportunity. It's a good footballing service and they play good football.
Stourbridge beat Stafford Rangers, which is actually, Stafford's first defeat in Yonks.
They've lost in September.
2-1 in the end. Sutton Coldfield, very unlucky. They were beaten 1-0 by Boston United. And then Whitby Town 1, Gloucester City 1. You'd think the way Gloucester got that equaliser right at the end that it was going to be a struggle. Well, on Monday night, Whitby Town beat Gloucester in the replay at Gloucester by 3-1.
That's only half the story, though.
I mean, Whitby are going to be playing Stourbridge in the fourth qualifying round, but walk us through it, James.
Well, from Paul Connolly's comments, because again, he's a
very unbalanced journalist.
A very unbalanced journalist.
Unbalanced?
No, I said very unbalanced.
Well,
sorry, Paul.
Travelled down 14 players, three of which were goalkeepers, and dominated the game. That's the response there at the moment. So. All credits to Whitby.
We've all had a ways like that, haven't we?
Yeah, but again, we've been saying it on the main show as well. Whitby have got that capability. And
they have had a very good start. They've had a couple of bumps, but equally, that form that they've been showing, the quality, we all know there. So they've gone there. They've got a great result away from home on a Monday. I mean, they played on the Saturday. Why was the game playing on the Monday?
Gloucester's Monday night.
Their midweek game.
Right, so that's Monday night's there. So you can't change that even.
I think it's because they're still not at home, are they? They're still
on the
road.
Of course they are, yeah. So, but no, fantastic result for Whitby. And again, it bodes well for them in the league. And it's a tough ass though going to Stourbridge.
I mean, we will cover this in later shows, but because these matches take place in a couple of weeks' time, don't they? How many of those four do you think are going to go through? Gateshead against Colne, we've got Nantwich against Kingsley, Notts County against Belper, and Whitby against Stourbridge.
I think the two teams for me you'd be looking at would be Whitby. I've got a chance.
Nantwich.
And Nantwich, they're the two teams. The other two teams, go out and enjoy it, and you know if you get a result there, fantastic. I wish them all the very, very best of luck. But though the two teams, you'd think they're playing against opposition that they know, that played against in the past, perhaps. You know, no one's ever played against Notts County before from this division, really. I don't think.
Salford.
Good. Just to say, there are some Tuesday night matches. We're going to be going back to the studio in a second to have a little results round up, while some interviews with managers and stuff.
And
we'll have Thomas Feeney coming on for a fixture preview. But Swamper, James, a big thank you for joining us. And let's hope tonight that football and Manchester non-league football is the winner.
And the sin bin.
Oh, don't talk about that. The sin bin. And a big thank you to James and Swampy at Stainton Park and Radcliffe FC, of course, for their hospitality on Tuesday evening. That was our results roundup from Saturday's matches in the FA Cup and in the league. Back to league matters, though, and we've got some interviews coming up now. We're going to be joined shortly by the management at Micklehover Sports and at Bamba Bridge. We're also going to be joined by Ant Taylor. And later, we should add, we've got a full fixture preview coming your way with non-league reporter from Yorkshire, Mr. Thomas Feeney. But before that, it's to Buxton. Buxton on Tuesday night had a thumping victory over Grantham Town with a hat-trick coming from Diego Di Girolamo in that game. And on Friday night, I caught up with Diego to hear his thoughts on that victory there for the Derbyshire side.
Yeah, it was really good. I think mainly for me, it were obviously all the team were really happy that we finally got the 3 points that we've been really, but I think we've deserved in other games. But for whatever reason we've not got them. But for myself especially, I think it were a massive confidence booster for me, like, as in to get me going now for the season, hopefully.
I mean, I've seen one of the goals, and it was a pretty special one. I mean, which one was the pick of your bunch?
Well, to be fair, everyone said my third one, but quite a few have said my second as well. But I prefer my second goal, because it's like what a lot of people have said, like, the second goal, I can't really see many people saving it. So yeah, I'd say my second goal.
Excellent stuff. And obviously, like you touched upon there, I mean, with the start that Buxton have made to this season, I mean, they're not alone by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of big hitters who've not really had the best of starts. But it looks like, you know, with that victory there that and a couple of results elsewhere, it looks like Buxton might be on the way back now.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, because now I suppose we're out of the FA Cup and that we can really concentrate on the league. But it's just, We could have had maybe two or three wins previously to this, and like I said, for whatever reason, it's not happened. But when you're up at the top of the league, you get things that go for you, and when you're at the bottom, you get things that don't go for you, and that's just the way it is. But say, for instance, now, like tomorrow, I think all the lads really are going into it thinking we're getting 3 points, and it is the other night that were a massive confidence boost for us, and it's definitely what we needed to now kick on a winning streak and get back up the table.
Obviously, towards the end of last season, it was, you know, Buxton getting into the playoffs and all that. I mean, there must be a bit in the dressing room which is going, you know, we need to go on better this season.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like last year, all the lads were really happy to get the playoffs. And like I said, it weren't something that were expected upon us from the fans and the chairman. But from ourselves, we knew we could do it. But when it happened, it were a massive achievement for the club. Maybe we overachieved a little bit. But this year, especially, we feel like the squad's a lot stronger. And that's because the manager and the chairman have seen we've got the playoffs last year. So we're now, like you said, wanting to do one better and basically guarantee playoffs and hopefully potentially get a promotion for the club.
Yeah, and there's some good big names in that dressing room as well. We all know about Liam Hardy, for example. It is a quality squad that Paul Phillips has constructed this year.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, last year we had a great squad, and I know obviously lads have chats and that in change room, like what could we do to better our squad and that. And at the start of the season, we were looking around thinking, yeah, we've got a great chance here. And obviously, like, for whatever reason, we've not had the best start, but I think now we've all come together as a group, and it's looking really promising now.
And I've not been to Silverland since they relayed the pitch. How's that side of things? Are you enjoying that surface there at Silverlands now?
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. It's a great pitch. It's the best AstroTurf I've definitely played on. And I know the only problem you get with it really is you get teams coming who obviously play on not great pitches, and they come and they see it and they think we might have a go at playing it now. So you do get a lot of teams who come to Silverlands thinking we're going to try and play football, and some teams can do it and some teams can't. Like, I think we've got a good, with versatile, we can do both. We can knock it long, and we can also play the football on it.
And when it comes to tomorrow's match, then FC United against Buxton, I believe the pitch is, despite the weather, it's looking really good for tomorrow. And there's going to be a big crowd there, I'd imagine, as well. What's the mood in the camp like? Because this has been a very big game in years gone by.
Yeah, no, I know all the lads are really excited. We've got a group chat that we've been chatting in today, and lads are like, oh, bloody hell, I hope the rain stops, because We don't want the game to be called off, and obviously everyone's up for it. And I think right now, especially after the game on Tuesday, it's a great day, a great time to be playing them, because, like I said, everyone's confidence up, everyone's looking forward to it, and it is a massive game for the club, because FC United, that they are a big club in this league, and they get a lot of fans. So yeah, everyone's raring for it, really.
Diego Di Girolamo there speaking to us here on the NPL show on Friday evening. So Buxton, 7-0 winners over Grantham on Tuesday evening. Next up for Buxton will be an away trip to FC United, as we were discussing there. And we'll have a full fixture preview with Thomas Feeney later in the show. Some other results then from Tuesday night. And South Shields continued their form up at the top. They've now opened up a 10-point gap to the rest of the division again with a 2-1 win over Stalybridge Celtic, with Chris Smalley for Stalybridge getting an equaliser on the 75th minute, but Robert Briggs getting a late penalty there for South Shields to make sure the Mariners took all the points in that one. Mickleover over Sports, though, got a point on Tuesday night, and they came from a goal down to get it. They drew 1-1 with Morpeth Town. That sees Mickleover Sports currently sitting second in the league table. It's been a great start to the season. And for more on Mickleover Sports, on Friday lunchtime, I caught up with their manager. It's a welcome return to John McGrath. So, John, a big thank you for joining us. And, well, second in the league. The last time we spoke, it was at the end of last season. You know, we're talking about survival and staying up. Very much a different interview this time round. I mean, it's been a great start. What have you made of it?
Yeah, you know, we're quite a small club, you know, amongst a division of big hitters. But we did our recruitments different this summer. We did it better. We pinpointed certain people, certain characters that if we ever did get into a dogfight again, that we would we'd have the certain criteria in place to deal with it. So I'm absolutely delighted with the start. But you know, we take each game as it comes, and we keep fighting for those points.
Players like Lee Hughes, who every time I look at a Mickleover result, he's scored. It doesn't matter how old he is; he's clearly very, very capable at this level. That's for sure.
Yeah, I earmarked Hughesy pre-season. You know, it took me a couple of months to get him in and get him over the line. He's got 4 and 5 for us now. But people like Richard Batchelor, who are experienced at this level, centre midfielder. He's been superb. We managed to keep hold of our captain, Jake Scott. Pablo Mills, we brought in Greg Young, signed Stuart Bevan on loan from the Nice, and then we got Nathan Modeste up front. So we've got a lot of experience. Obviously, myself and Ricky Raven, who's my assistant, we're still registered players. So I think this year it was about experience, and then we've got obviously young lads in and around us. You know, Mason Warren has scored 6 goals from midfield. He's only 21 years of age. So, you know, we've got a good blend now.
I was going to say, obviously, you know, you said you recruited to get some battlers in, and in case you are in that relegation dogfight again. But, you know, they say don't look at a league table after 10 games. It's 12 games now, and you're second, you're on 21 points. So where are you tracking versus your own expectations, and how far have those expectations moved?
Well, we started pre-season, and we started with a thing called Project 42. Which was to get to 42 points,
yes,
as quick as we can, and not leave it to going away to Bamber Bridge last game of the season, needing to win. So that is still our tally. That's still our aim. You know, we don't get ahead of ourselves. I've got a group of winners now. I've got a group of men in that team who want to win every game. And if Project, 42 comes along in January, and we've got another 3 months to hit Project, you know, playoffs or whatever it may be, and we'll readjust our targets then. But inside, we know how good we are. I've always said that goals change games, and, you know, Lee Hughes, Nathan Modeste and Stuart Bevan have added quality. But, you know, I've asked for goals from elsewhere, and Mason Warren, who's a deep-line midfielder, has, you know, chipped in with 6 goals in 12 games, which is a fantastic return.
Yeah, it's not bad at all, that's for sure. And this weekend, you'll be travelling not too far away to take on Matlock Town. We should say it's chucking it down when we record this on Friday. I think you can hear the windscreen wipers in the background as well, where John is.
Yeah.
So do check Twitter before setting off. But if the game is on, this one, it's a good gauge, isn't it, of where your boys are?
Yeah, you know, Matlock are a very good side. Steve's done a good job there. He did a good job with Scarborough. Good manager. You know, he's well prepared. He'll be well, you know, he'll have him well, you know, well versed for us. So, but it is away from home again, and you know, we've gone and picked up some great away, you know, victories. So we'll not change ourselves too much, but we'll adjust to it accordingly. And it'll be a tough game, and it'll be a good gauge, like you said, Ben, where we stand as a football club.
Absolutely. And just before you go, John, like you said, I mean, you've been a player manager, and you're still registered. But I mean, it's got all fallen into place this season by the looks of it. So are you enjoying yourself at the moment?
Yeah, my aim was to recruit better, so I don't have to play games of football, because ultimately my aim is to go and manage in the Football League. And to be a good manager and to get better at being a manager, you've got to manage at some point. And I've actually loved. I didn't think I'd like it as much because I thought I'd miss football too much. But I love the side of management. I love preparing, midweek, for the game on Saturday. And it's definitely, the lads haven't missed me as much, which I quite enjoy. But if I'm needed, I'm there to help them out.
John McGrath there, manager of Michelover Sports, joining us here on the NPL show. So Michelover currently sitting second in the league. Basford are in third position. In fourth, we've got Whitby. And then we've got Nantwich Town. They drew 2-2 with Bamber Bridge on Tuesday evening. A great result that for the Lancashire side. And for more on the Lancashire club, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with their manager. Here's Joey Collins.
Really good. I think it was a really hard-fought game for us. We're certainly making it more difficult now for teams coming to us, which is always a positive. Although it's 2-2, I think we had enough chances to win the game, if I'm honest. But, we'll take that. They're a good side, Nantwich. There was 3 penalties in the game. I think there probably could have been 5, if I'm honest. So, yeah, overall, yeah, very pleasing.
And that follows another draw as well with Witton Albion. And, apart from the Gainsborough result, I saw you against FC United and it was a really good performance against FC United. So are you a bit more satisfied with the general direction the club's going in at the moment on the pitch?
Yeah, definitely. We're starting to work harder and smarter off the ball. We're good on it going forward at times. We've had a few problems just finishing the attack, as you would have seen at FC United. Although we're creating quite a few chances, we're not probably getting above the green with it the post a few times. But, that's football. But no, overall, apart from the Gainsborough game where, we didn't get off to a great start and they bullied us really first half. And fair credit to them, they were well up for it. They played very, very well. And they give us too much of an uphill battle for the second half. But no, against Witton, I think they had one cross in the first half, which we put in with an own goal. We've had 3 or 4 good chances. And for me, I've spoken to the referee afterwards, which I don't normally do. There was a stonewall penalty. And fair play to me, he said that he genuinely didn't see it because of how quick the ball moved forward. But then we equalised with 20 seconds to go or something. So I can't really be too disappointed with the end result, but I think overall the Witton one was one we should have took 3 points from.
I mean, you mentioned finishing and that kind of thing. That was very prevalent at FC United, but going forward, you got so many good attacking players. Obviously, everyone knows about Wadika, but Michael Fowler as well was very impressive, I thought, against FC United.
Yeah, he's been a breath of fresh air, really. He's 18 years old. He's a real powerhouse. We're lucky that Fleetwood have obviously loaned him for a couple of months, giving him a bit of game experience, having left Burnley, gone to Fleetwood. He's a big, strong, powerful lad. And he's created on his own probably 3 or 4 good chances against FC. So we can't be too disappointed that we've missed him, because he has actually, he's worked to cover them himself, which, on another day, he's scoring 2 or 3. He's rounded the keeper with a minute to go or 2 minutes to go, and he's at the outside of the post. So he just didn't fall his way, and he was very disappointed, which... we've consolidated ourselves afterwards in change rooms and said, how well he'd done. But, it's a good sign. I'll disappoint with his own performance because he wants to score goals for us. And Ali Wadika, obviously Stillwater, Bamber Bridge, he last week broke the all-time appearance record with about 478 to 480 games he's played. So that's a remarkable achievement at non-league, with, and the loyalty that he has for the club is, he's had some serious bids put in for him where he could go elsewhere, but he's chosen to stay where his heart lies, and we're very thankful for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you say Bamber Bridge, you instantly think Wadika, don't you? So that's the calibre of the player right there. So I was going to mention for you personally as well, Joey, obviously you came in towards the end of last season, and last season it was what it was for Bamber Bridge, but survival was the most important thing. You've had pre-season under your belt now as permanent manager. I mean, how are you finding life at the club as first team manager?
Oh, the club and the staff, it's quite unique. I've been around a few non-league clubs in my time playing, and they are, it's a very close-knit family, Bamber Bridge. And when I was asked to go in with Mickey originally, he told me about the close bond everyone has and how tight the dressing room is, and you know, I found that first hand. So going in and helping him to survive with Matty was massive for us. You know, we knew we had a good group of players. We added one addition in Joe Booth to give us that experience. We managed to stay up. Pre-season was good until we'd lost a couple of players. But it's always hard. I'd never, you know, go back on saying about financial implications, you know, but we don't have the biggest budget. But so we have to really, really try it when we're recruiting to get the right people in at the right time who'll match our dressing room, be the right player for us and do what we need to at Bamber Bridge. And, you know, we have found, I'll be honest, that we've found that quite difficult, although we've managed now to get a couple more signings in. There's a couple of lads we're still looking at on the periphery that we've been watching that we need to speak to again. So hopefully now, yeah, we've played a lot of away games, which is a tough call in itself in this league. And I think that's took its toll on us a little bit. But now we've managed to regain a little bit with a couple of performances, and we're hoping to take that forward into Saturday against Stalybridge.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're still on the road this weekend with that Stalybridge match. Weather permitting, we should say, because it's been chucking it down all Friday, as many Northerners will vouch. obviously, I mean, Stalybridge were one of those teams in and around the relegation places last season as well. The league table more generally is very fluid, isn't it? I hate to use cliches, but it is awfully competitive, isn't it? With a lot of big hitters down towards the bottom end, a few surprise packages up towards the top end. So where do you see Bamber Bridge in this shake-up?
We've just got to find some form. I think if you can string two or three performances together in this league, you seem to creep up the league very quickly, and we intend to do that. We want to be right in and around the playoff places. That's what we spoke about at the beginning of the season. Obviously, we don't got off to the greatest start playing away, but like you say, there's some very difficult teams here, and you'll see it every week. A performance where you think, oh, they'll take 3 points there, or they might get it totally kicks you in the teeth down here. So, you know, every single team are fighting for every point. I know that sounds a bit of a cliche, but they are, and everybody takes points off everyone. I know South Shields are flying a bit at the minute. They give us a bit of a scene to up there, and rightly sort of a good side. But, you know, there's other teams that are in and out there. I know McClover are doing well at the minute. There's Buxton, got a great result at the weekend. They were down at the bottom. I thought they were a good, strong side. They've got a strong outfit, even though the league position wasn't showing it. They're a strong outfit. Matlock did well. The big, strong, physical lads who very well organised with Kittredge there. So if we can be in and around that middle table towards the playoffs, that we'd be very happy with that.
And enjoying yourself, Joey, this opening gambit of the season, and looking forward to the remainder of the year?
Yeah, definitely. It's certainly a test. I've done 30 years in the military, and this is certainly a test for us. So, but no, I do enjoy it. I get in with the lads. We have a great coaching team, great management team in the chairman, and this, like I said, the staff and the fans behind it are good, and they're very supportive. It's been enjoyable so far.
Joey Collins there, manager of Bamber Bridge, speaking to us here on the NPL show. Just to wrap up, a couple of other results from Tuesday night in the league. Warrington Town 2, Lancaster City 2. Lancaster and Warrington both sitting just outside the playoffs. We've also got Stafford Rangers 1, Witton Albion 1. Both goals there coming in the second half. Stafford Rangers still sitting bottom of the table, without a win to their name this season thus far. But that doesn't tell the full story about their season. I mean, they are currently unbeaten in the last four league matches, Stafford Rangers. But one last result to talk about, and that was Matlock Town 1, Scarborough Athletic 2. An away victory there for Scarborough Athletic. And joining me now down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by Yorkshire Coast Radio's very own, it's a welcome return to Mr. Ant Taylor. So, Ant, a big thank you for joining us, and a great victory on Tuesday evening. And Scarborough starting to move up the table. What room for optimism now, starting to move up the table?
It's going to be a tough old season. I think we say it all the time. No one wins and really wins and loses. And, you know, that's about us in a nutshell, really. There's games that we think we could win, we don't win. And there's other games, you know, where we think we should win, we don't win. And I think, yet again, it's going to be one of them tough seasons, a bit of a transition. Manager's still getting his team together, still players out injured. We've got a massive injury list, but that's part and parcel of non-league football, and there'll be other teams as well in the same boat. But, you know, we you just got to gel together, stick together, and hopefully try and climb up the table. I do think, me personally, after Christmas, I think we might start getting a bit more, you know, we'll get more people, bodies back on the pitch and that, and start playing, because we are playing good football, playing decent football, really fun football that most fans have been telling me. It's just that lately we've been conceding a few and not scoring as many, and we're just drawing a lot at home.
Like you said earlier, though, if you can get them to gel by Christmas, then that's certainly looking like an interesting second half to the season.
Yeah, we've played some tough teams. Like, we played you at your ground.
Yeah, you never played me. What's that? And that's
no, we played that FC United.
Oh, that lot.
Them lot. Fantastic day, I've got to say. You know, we snuck a win there, and you know, we had our backs to the wall with that most of that game. And we got 3 points, and then we got 3 points again on the road, and we've just been getting draws at home. So you can see it's there, but then you see we're playing Mikulova and we get a lob over the keeper, and then then we're losing that 1-0, and you know, we had a bit of a disastrous thing in the FA Cup with losing 5-something to Southport, and you know. It's a bit gutting, especially when you're seeing our northern cousins, Whitby Town, doing ever so well at the moment. So it's a bit gutting at the moment.
And,
but you know,
and don't let them know. Don't let them know.
No, I'm trying not to let them know. But it's just things like that. And yeah, I don't want to say it, but I think I'm gonna have to say it. But it is what it is. And you know, we're gonna get there. And I think, you know, we just need to see if we can try and get the playoffs and then see where we go from there. But just keep on pulling out points. I mean, at the moment.
Now, unfortunately, there's an inevitability about this next fixture for Scarborough. It is a home game, and like you say, you've drawn every single home game this season thus far. You're playing Stafford, who also like a draw or two, let's say. So this is destined to be a draw. I'm gonna suggest that in a loving way, but it does feel like it's going to be a draw. But what do you think?
Well, you think it is a draw, but I've got this really gut feeling is we've played Matlock Town in the FA Trophy years ago and they beat us and we've won. We played Stafford Rangers in the FA Trophy final, beat them. I think we just might nip it tomorrow. But, you know what I mean? I don't want people using that as an excuse to come and play out the skins, okay, Stafford Rangers fans and players.
I was going to say, though, Ant, as well, obviously live commentary available on Yorkshire Coast Radio tomorrow. How could people tune in?
Yeah, if they were, it won't be me, unfortunately. I'm just taking a max seat at the moment. I'm still about on that. I'll be there tomorrow, but I'm trying to think who's doing it tomorrow. I think it's Joe and Tom tomorrow. But if you do, just get online on the old Tinterweb and type in yorkshirecoastradio.com/extra and you'll be able to listen to them. The next time I'll be on the radio will be Tuesday night at Hyde, and I'll be with 26-0.
Oh my goodness. When two worlds collide, everybody.
Be
there at the Flamingo Land Stadium on Tuesday. I have to say, though, I think that might be game of the night. I was looking through the fixtures earlier for Tuesday, and Scarborough against Hyde, it's there's been some ding-dongs over the years, hasn't there?
It does send tingles down the back of your spine, and obviously that's when I start worrying and that, when I start getting tingles. You know, it's some cracking games, and obviously Scarborough last season at their ground, we pulled off a 3-1 win. I've got to be honest, superb scouting from myself. I've got to be honest, I was there the week before, and you know, hopefully, you know, we might get some out of it again, but it's got drawing all over, hasn't it?
So a big thank you to Ant Taylor there from Yorkshire Coast Radio, talking to us about Scarborough and how that great win midweek for them against Matlock Town. But it's now time to look to the future and to draw our eyes to the future. Now we're joined once again by non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, from where I am, of course, to him. I'm on the other side of the Pennines. It's Tom Feeney. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. I'm from the correct side of the Pennines, I think you should be saying.
That's fine. it depends which way of the globe you're looking, I suppose. But anyway, let's talk about these matches then on Saturday. The league is starting to take a bit of shape with a few surprise packages in the playoff positions at the moment and in and around the playoffs. I'm going to start with one of those surprise packages. That's Michelover Sports. This weekend, they're travelling to Matlock Town, who dropped out of the playoffs in the last couple of weeks or so. Michelover are really doing well at the moment, aren't they, Tom?
Yeah, and I mean, they would be the team right now that you would deem the surprise package to be. Third in the league, four games unbeaten, and really, on the quiet, have got a really nice little squad together, and I think what they've got is a good mixture of youth and experience, and fair play to them, because I don't think many people at the start of the season, if you'd have said Michelover Sports are going to be, in the playoff places and really pushing for it at the moment, I don't think many people would have said, oh yeah, I can see that definitely happening, but you know what, fair play to them. And I think it just shows you the work that's been done. It's kind of been a progression of getting these signings in. It seems like there is a real plan to what they've been doing. Obviously, last season, ensuring they stayed up and then being able to kick on from it.
I think it's safe to say that not a surprise package is South Shields. They're currently 10 points clear, which gets Berkey very, very excited. That's one of his predictions, numerical predictions, is coming true. 10 points clear, up at the top at the moment. This weekend, South Shields will be travelling to Witton Albion. Andrew Simpson's Witton Albion, of course, so you've got to be nice about them, Tom. This is going to be a tough game, this one, for Witton, but many sides have gone to Wincham Park and come a cropper.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be a real tough game, but I think the thing is, South Shields, kind of, they're a season wiser, after last year just missing out. And, I've got to say, first of all, they got, over 1,400 fans at their game on Tuesday night, which, is absolutely incredible, really. It just shows you the momentum that South Shields have. And I know that's a kind of a number that they've been getting, most weeks as well at home. And really, their biggest enemy right now is themselves, because in terms of squad, in terms of ability, in terms of getting results, they are the clear favourites. And like you were saying, they've already got an 11-point gap, at the top of the table, which is remarkable for the position that we're in. But the losses that they had at the start of the season very much were down to having, a lot of injuries all in one go. But since then, an incredible run of form, really. And I can't see it stopping at the weekend. I've got to say, this is one of those where I'll probably look back on Saturday evening and I've jinxed them, but I really can't see South Shields not getting the 3 points, because I just think in terms of the squad, they are the best squad in the division and, really the team that should be winning the league come the end of it.
Well, look at that goal difference as well. Plus 18 compared to Michelover at plus 5, Baseford plus 7. The best attacking record in the league, 23 goals scored, and the best defence, 5 conceded. It's pretty good. I mean, to be fair, Radcliffe have the only other team who've conceded less goals. They're currently on 9, but they've only played 7 games compared to South Shields' 12. So they're in great form at the minute, South Shields. But like we said, Witton Albion this weekend for the league leaders. Baseford United currently sitting in 3rd. They have a game in hand over Michelover Sports and South Shields above them. Baseford on Saturday will be travelling to Morpeth Town. Morpeth currently sitting in 14th, but I've got about, my maths is terrible, but I'd say about 20 games in hand.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the thing for Baseford, is this is a real tough game, because again, the way the table is right now, Morpeth, I think I'm right in saying they are the team that have the most games in hand on anyone. They've got 6 games in hand on some teams, and these are two teams that last season all they knew about was winning, both doing what they did last season. And I think this is it's going to be a real tricky game to predict, because people might look at the table and think, oh, Morpeth, they're 15th in the table. Yeah. But again, if they win all their games in hand, they could, they would be in them playoff places quite comfortably. And I think that's the thing for them, is they know that they're going to have, probably quite a few Saturday Tuesdays coming up in the near future. But this is a real tough game to predict, and real one for me. I'd be absolutely sat on the fence on this one, where I can't see either team losing this game. So I'll go with the draw, but I do think the Baseford, a fantastic start for the season, and that win against Gainsborough, the way that they won that game as well, will have really given them a bit more confidence.
To the north edges of your patch, we've got Whitby Town, who I don't know whether they're a surprise package or not this season, but I think it's safe to say it was a surprise, their FA Cup performance, the replay on Monday. Superb stuff for Whitby Town. Whitby this weekend hosting Warrington Town in what I'm going to describe as game of the weekend, perhaps. Certainly up there, isn't
it? Yeah. It's definitely up there. I mean, you look at Whitby on Monday night, a 10-hour round trip, 14 fit players. Their goalkeeping coach had to play the last 5 minutes up front. I mean, against not a bad Gloucester City side, a team that I saw play, under 2 weeks ago, and they were very impressive, and they gained victory over Guiseley. And I think, you know, the way that Whitby were able to gain that victory, there's some long journeys where, you kind of, I suppose, you're back on the motorway afterwards and you're thinking, why did we bother? What was the point in that? You're disheartened. But that will have been, you know, that five-hour trip back to Whitby will have been a breeze for the players and the staff, because that is a massive win for them. And what they've got is they've got a really good goal scorer up front, a really good goalkeeper at the back, and in between it isn't too bad at all as well. So I think I'm right in saying we could go back through the logs. I'm pretty sure I said I thought Whitby would be in and around the playoff places by the end of it. And I'll stick by that, because I do think Chris Hardy, after what was a difficult season last season, one or two things just didn't go his way. I do think this season he's definitely learnt from it and is able to move on. And, you know, you look at Warrington, obviously after what happened during the last campaign, I think they'll be... A little bit disappointed that they're not a little bit higher, but again, they've got games in hand on one or two teams around them, and with the quality that's in that squad, it'll be no surprise when they are in the playoffs come the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the final team in the playoffs at the moment, after 10 games this is, obviously, so we've got to take it serious from now on, everybody. There's no hashtag early days anymore. We're 10 games in for a lot of sides. Nantwich Town taking on Radcliffe, who actually, in all fairness, have only played 7 games. One of those things, unfortunately, for Radcliffe, but they're starting to get some results on the board now. Nantwich Town, we spoke about Whitby Town in the FA Cup. Nantwich are also flying the flag in the fourth qualifying round for the NPL. Interesting game, this one, at the Weaver Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, when you look at Nantwich, obviously last season, another team who had a fantastic run, you know, that win against Telford United will have given them rightly a lot of confidence in the sense of facing a good National League North team and winning, and then being able to defeat Morpeth Town as well. And two good wins in the cup, and results-wise, you know, they beat Lancaster City, they beat Matlock Town. Their home form has been really impressive, and this is a real tough game for Radcliffe, because again, it's that thing of, you know, come at the start of the season when you were looking at it, it really was a case of, you know, Radcliffe were miles behind teams in terms of games played. They've started to catch up a little bit more now, but I do think this is a real tough test for Radcliffe, and I can only see Nantwich getting the win.
And when it comes to the team just outside, we've been discussing on this show that some of the surprise packages. Lancaster City, I don't necessarily think it is a surprise, because their form towards the end of last season was superb, wasn't it? And they've just carried that on, and they're currently sitting in sixth position, just 1 point outside the playoffs at the moment. Lancaster taking on a surprise package in themselves, but not in a good way. Ashton United, obviously, I think they've got themselves together now, haven't they, after a bit of a sticky spell. But this is an intriguing game. But I'd imagine if Ashton United are going to get to the playoffs or promotion places come the end of the season, this is one they have to win, even though it is October.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Lancaster, it's interesting, because I watched them play last season just after all the managerial changes had been made. I watched them play twice in about 10 days, and both times I thought they looked really impressive, and you could see kind of already, you know, very early days, but you could see a plan was coming together in terms of recruitment, in terms of a style of play. And then at the end of last season, they, like you said, they ended it so strongly, and it always felt like they were kind of one of those sides that people would write off and say, oh, they're not, you know, they'd be glad to be mid-table maybe. But to me, I always felt, you know what, there's something there, definitely. And if they can get a run together, and then, you know, recently they've gone to Witton Albion and won, beat Matlock Town, who at the time were in the playoffs, and, you know, gained a good point away at Warrington Town. And they'll be going into this Ashton United game full of confidence, because I think, you know, for Ashton, on paper at the start of the season, I thought they had definitely a playoff contending squad. They've then made a lot of changes, you know, a lot of ins and outs. I think Lloyd Ellenson going in is a really smart move by them. He's, you know, to me, a good goalkeeper who played for, he only played once for Guiseley. Obviously, last season he were with a couple of clubs, and I think it'll help him to be in a position where he knows they'll be number one there. But I think for Ashton, like, you know, repeating your point, really, you know, even though it is so early on in the season and they've only played 9 league games, if they were to lose this game, you're already looking at it as, right, they're dropping more points against teams who, come the end of the season, might be in and around them places. So, you know, a little bit of pressure on Ashton going into this weekend and a real tough game for them as well.
Let's talk about two teams currently sitting 9th and 10th in the league table, both on the receiving end of bad results the last time they played in the league. Hyde United beaten 3-0 by Radcliffe on Saturday. Grantham Town, a right thumping from Buxton midweek, as we were discussing earlier. The two go head-to-head this weekend in a game where, well, both sets of management will be wanting to bounce back as quickly as possible, let's say. Probably going to be a draw then, I'd imagine.
Yeah, and it's interesting, both teams losing the last two games, and like you said, both teams having a really disappointing result in the last match, and you know, level on points, it does just feel like it would be a draw. You know, that would be the obvious outcome. But I think, again, you know, both sides will generally be happy with where they are in the table. Both sides will be generally happy with how it's been going. But just a little bump in the road, and it is so important for both of them to just get out of that thing of, you know, you've lost a couple, right, let's get a win now. Let's get a win this weekend. So I think this is a really important game for both teams, just in the sense of you don't want to be going into that little bit of momentum where you're losing games and, you know, it becomes a bit of the norm. So an important game for both teams. And, you know, I think for Hyde United, I think I'm going to say every team will be in and around the playoff places. But I do think by the end of it, with the squad they've got, you know, and some of the signings they made during the summer, they definitely should be looking up the table.
Now, we just touched upon the 7-0 win for Buxton against Grantham Town on Tuesday night. This next game is going to be, it's an interesting one, because I don't think FC United have ever beaten Buxton at home. I'm pretty sure that's the case. If I'm wrong, don't get in touch. I'll just willingly accept it from afar. But I'm pretty sure FC United have never beaten Buxton at home. Buxton have suddenly got some good form, but FC United against Buxton this weekend, in, I'm going to suggest, the most intriguing game of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for yourself, I felt for you when I saw that Buxton result, because that's the exact kind of result you don't want to be facing the next team when they've just had an incredible win, and, you know, they've got a striker who scored a hat-trick, and, I mean, two of the goals, one of them's top right-hand corner, the other's a top left-hand corner, and the first goal wasn't too bad either. So they're facing a team that are just starting to gain that little bit of confidence, and when you've got a striker who is getting goals as well and that bit of confidence as well. So it's kind of a weird one, because there's, you know, 9 points between the teams, you know, what, six, what is it, 10 places between the teams as well, I think, and be thinking, well, FC United will win this one. You know, obviously we're non-league day and it should be a fantastic crowd hopefully there as well, but it's just a really interesting game, this, because it's really tough to call. If FC United won 2-0, it wouldn't surprise me, but if Buxton were able to gain victory as well, I wouldn't be that surprised either, just with the way that they won that last match. So I suppose this would be the game you'd say is the most difficult to call this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. And also a difficult game to call at the moment. Stalybridge Celtic against Bamber Bridge. Bamber Bridge drawn the last two games and look like they might be getting some form going, but we'll wait and see. Stalybridge, a much better start to the season than they finished the season last year.
Oh, definitely. I think Stalybridge obviously was so near to dropping out the division come the end of it, but they started the season well. They've just had that little bit of a blip, two losses, and they'll be trying to get out of that. And for Bamber Bridge, you know, two draws in them last games, but already I'd be looking at Bamber Bridge and saying they've played a lot more games than some of the teams around them. You know, I think it's 5 more games than some of the other sides. So, but a good point against Nantwich Town in the last match, a good point against Witton Albion in the game before that. You just hope that can give them that little bit more confidence, and that first win in a couple of games can come for them.
Just two games left. We obviously heard from Ant Taylor a second ago about Scarborough against Stafford Rangers. Both teams, well, especially Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers are a weird one, aren't they? Because apart from the FA Cup defeat last weekend, they've not been beaten in ages, have they? But they've just not got a league win to the name at the moment. It's just one of them things. Scarborough, they're currently 3 points above the relegation zone. Hashtag it is early days, I suppose. But these two mammoth non-league entities trying to get themselves up the table.
Well, I mean, it's just weird because Scarborough are unbeaten at home, but they've not won at home yet. They've drawn every game so far. And like you said, Stafford Rangers, they've not won a league game this season. And yet, you know, they've drawn the last four games. So for Scarborough, I really felt for them a couple of weeks ago because they made a couple of signings and it was like 10 minutes in, Josh Barrett got injured. And, you know, I think John Deason must have been pulling his hair out a bit. But I do think for Scarborough, that was a massive win against Matlock during midweek. And now, hopefully, you know, I will be biased and say this, I hope Scarborough can now just, if they can win the next 20 games and be comfortable in the playoff places, I'd be very happy.
And finally, we've got Gainsborough Trinity against Atherton Colls. Gainsborough, just replay what I just said about Scarborough and Stafford Rangers, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing for Gainsborough is they'll be really disappointed with where they are in the league. And, you know, they've made a couple of big decisions. You know, now they've brought the new goalkeeper in on loan from Boston United. And I think, you know, that might be a big turning point for them. For Atherton, you know, kind of one of these teams, they seem to get a good result and then get a result that might disappoint them a little bit. So we'll see whether they can get a good one because, you know, obviously last time losing to South Shields wasn't a massive surprise. But then the game before, a good point away at Matlock, losing to Michelover Sport maybe a couple of games ago would have been disappointing at home. But then you look where Michelover are in the table, you know. So I think all in all, this is another game actually that's quite tough to call because I think Atherton are probably going to come into this game thinking, you know what, we can get something against Gainsborough. For Gainsborough, there's a lot of pressure on them going into it.
Yeah, and well, it's going to be a very interesting weekend, that's for sure. Obviously, there's Tuesday night as well in the league, and obviously Nantwich and Whitby Town in FA Cup action on Saturday, so they've decided to postpone their matches midweek. Nantwich would have played South Shields, so wise move, I reckon. And also Whitby Town would have played Michelover Sports, so again, wise move, I think, from the FA Cup sides on Tuesday night. But in the league, SC United against Batesford, Gainsborough against Buxton, Lancaster against Radcliffe, Matlock against Warrington, Morpeth against Atherton, Scarborough against Hyde United, Stalybridge against Stafford and Witton Albion against Ashton United. All those matches kicking off at 7:45 p.m. on Tuesday night. But Thomas Feeney, non-league reporter from Yorkshire, a big thank you for joining us. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. I'm imagining some match reports coming our way shortly as well.
Yeah, definitely. If you want to be bored silly, follow me on Twitter. That's at Thomasine. And it honestly now, the Yorkshire bias has gone to a whole new level over the last few months.
Thomas Feeney there with a good old-fashioned fixture preview to end this week's NPL show. And that's it for this week's NPL show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Also, a special thanks to Radcliffe for hosting us earlier in the show as well. But that's it for this week's NPL show. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.